Father, you are faithful. You are faithful. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Glory to God. You pave the way where it looks like there is no way. In the name of Jesus, where it looks like there is no way in your life today, great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Father, I thank you. You're opening doors that no man can close. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. Hallelujah. We call you faithful. You're our daddy God. You're our provider. We can trust in you. Great is your faithfulness. If you agree this morning, say amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Welcome to those of you online. Praise God. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is May. Wow. Praise God. Time is going fast this year. Spring has sprung. I don't know. Officially, the date is not here yet, but praise God. Praise God. It's a new beginnings, new times in the Lord. Well, we welcome you this morning. Welcome online. Our website is BLFC. It's there on your screen. You can find out more about us. Submit prayer requests, testimonies. You in the room on the offering envelopes or when you're giving online, submit your prayer requests, submit your testimonies. We want to share the testimonies with one another. Rejoice in what God is doing for your prayer requests. It's an honor to pray with you, each and every one. We're getting those prayer requests in. We're speaking the word of God. I love, you know, we get those, we pray over them together, but in the mornings, the Lord has been having me just pray over you all, pray over those prayer requests specifically and calling out those names to the Lord. And so we don't take that lightly, and we're seeing God do work in the lives of the people. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and Instagram. So those of you on social media, subscribe, follow, like, and share. YouTube, subscribe there. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is on our website. It's also on Facebook every morning. And also on our website, there's a new option. You could subscribe. So it goes directly to your email box every morning. I know the first morning for me, it was at 2 a.m. So it's there when I woke up. Praise God. And I like to get up early and get in the word. And so that's right there. It's easy and I can just access it that way. Check your spam folder first. It might go in there. Mine went straight to my email. There was no issues with that. But just make sure, and if you need help doing that, come see us. We can help you get set up with that as well. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. Come early for coffee, praise God, fellowship. It's just having that time together with one another. Wednesday nights, we are in the middle of Jesus, the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. Wow, it is awesome. And it's flying by. It's already going to be our fifth week. Is that right? This Wednesday. And so on Wednesdays, doors open at 6. We start at 6:30. Come early. We have refreshments afterwards as well every Wednesday night. And so on Wednesdays, the discipleship course, there's teaching, first of all. And Pastor Rodney's been doing those, but also if someone else is interested in facilitating those, he has it ready to go where we want to help bring out the gifts in you. And so the Lord has the teaching gifts and those things and leading groups in some of us here and those that are interested. What's that? We'll help coach you along. And it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun on Wednesday nights. And so there's the teaching portion, but then there's discussion, group discussion, activation, ministry labs, where we're also praying for one another. And so in that, it's awesome because sometimes whether you're used to praying for people or you're just getting started and you're like, it's on your heart, you want to learn how to pray for people, pray for one another, be bold in that. This has helped bringing that out as well. And there's no, we help one another. And so it's a perfect opportunity to come together and learn and grow in that. And so we invite you also this Friday morning prayer, 9 to 10, right here. We pray over the church. We pray over the community. Volunteers, I want to talk more about prayer. Prayer is, everything begins in prayer. Prayer is what prepares the way. Prayer, we teach how to pray. We do a teaching. We pray for one another. But in prayer, it's such a powerful time together. I encourage you, if you have Friday mornings open, we start at 9, we end at 10, unless the Holy Spirit has something else. But we have come to the Lord and come together, and we're seeing a difference because of prayer. It's not us, it's Him, but we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's awesome. I want to say it's awesome. I love the prayer ministry. And so thank you for that. Thank you, Mom, for leading pre-service prayer. And actually, Mom is leading this Friday prayer. So how exciting is that? Invite someone to church. We have our church cards over here. You are welcome to take some with you when you go. And also, next Sunday is Mother's Day. Praise God. So we're excited about that. And we did this last year, and churches in the area have been doing, in the community has been doing this a long time. It's our baby bottle boomerang fundraiser for our local pregnancy center, Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center here in town, which I also have the honor of being the director of. And it's such an awesome tool in the community. It's such an awesome organization. We support life. We support life. And it's free. It's a confidential resource to families. You don't have to be single. There's no financial status. We're there to help. We have lessons, curriculum where we help families, where we help pregnancy along with your pregnancy, being a mom, first time moms, the developmental stages. We have Bible studies. There's things for post-abortion, miscarriage, and those kinds of things that we can help people along in those. We have resources. We have cards over there as well. So if you're not familiar with it, but there's self-administered pregnancy tests, diapers, wipes, formula. We have a boutique in there that sizes preemie through size 7-8 that moms and families can go in and get clothing for their children. We have an ultrasound machine on the way. I just signed off on it this past week. So people, that's huge. That is so exciting. And so we're here for the community, and it's free of charge. Everything is donation based. And so we'll have the baby bottles there starting next Sunday. So it's from Mother's Day to Father's Day. I don't want to take too long because I'll talk about it next Sunday. But you take the bottle, you fill it with cash, change, or checks. Or if you want the more modernized, you can scan our QR code and give online. And there's a drop down box for specifically baby bottle boomerang. And also, if you have not signed the petition for it's the amend the Nebraska Constitution to recognize the personhood of preborn children. So Colorado, I don't know what you have going on over there, but if you haven't signed this, I'll be over here after service to make sure we get these signatures, and I have to get it turned in by June. And so we'll get that going as well. So all that to be said, it's offering time, and I have an offering scripture. God is so good. We're expecting. Are you expecting from Him this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Are you expecting one word from God that can change your life forever? An answer. Praise God. A revelation. Amen. So Psalm 34, verse 8 through 10. And as you're turning there, I also want to say that's why it's so important to vote. I'll say it again next Sunday, because this is to get on the ballot in November. And so if we can get this to the ballot, then we can vote on it. It will make a huge difference in this area. So it's important to vote. It's important to know what's going on. May 12th, we have a ballot to vote on here. Yeah, a week from this coming Tuesday. And so I'll remind us again next Sunday. It's important. You got to hear it from here at the pulpit as well. With all of that being said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we're doers of the word. And so that's part of doing, is going out and voting. And so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He does it through us. And I'm going to read first the Passion Translation. Verse 8, it says, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies He gives us to all who turn to hide themselves in Him. He's a safe place. Worship in awe and wonder, all you who've been made holy For all you who fear him will feast with plenty. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack anything. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not lack. Psalm 23:1. Praise God. And so this morning, if you're giving, hallelujah. There's an offering envelope in the seat back in front of you. On the first row, you could raise your hand if you need one. If you're giving by check, please write it to VLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, sign the envelope. If you give to the building project, we are believing for that $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May, this month already. We're believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, connect group, classrooms, children's classrooms. Praise God for our children, young adults, our fellowship hall. For this building, we are believing for another sign, better lighting in the room, the children's room to be equipped for the ministry, a keyboard for our praise and worship team. Praise God. And so you all have the vision brochures, which I won't go over all that this morning, but they're here to put our eyes on it. They're here to go over. They're here to have something out ahead of us to know this is the direction we're going. And so far, $1,720 has come in. Praise the Lord for that. Glory to God. And there's $3,280 remaining. Nothing too hard for the Lord. We believe for that. We release our faith for that. And so as I was saying, if you're given towards that, it's building fund online. You just do the drop down for the building fund, or write it on the envelope in this room as you're giving today. Praise God. Let's say our offering confessions. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, double, yeah. Double and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering this morning.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. You look exceptionally beautiful this morning. Amen. Don't you appreciate Pastor Paula? Yes, what a precious Paula. Amen. Precious Pastor Paula. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome this morning. Praise God. It's good to have you all here in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all say this together. I am expecting a miracle today. Jesus, you are my healer. You are my redeemer. You are my savior. You are my provider. And I give you thanks. I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father God, for utterance. I thank you, Father God, I have eyes that see, ears that hear, the voice of the Good Shepherd, specifically in my life and for my church family. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes. And when you invite him in, he shows up every time. He always responds to faith. Jesus, as we've been seeing here, we've been studying on the subject of faith for months. But then we turned a corner and then we started looking specifically in these gospel accounts on Sundays and Wednesdays about these specific miracles. How each one received their miracle. And what we see right off is that Jesus did not go around just healing, saying, I'm the healer, I'm the healer, be healed, be healed, be healed. He didn't do it. He did not do it that way. There's really no account of him doing it that way. Not one. And yet we see here that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing, always in that order. His ministry operated in that order. He didn't just start out day one, I'm the healer, you know. No, he had to teach people about the kingdom. So again, he went about, he came out of the wilderness after he'd been baptized in the Jordan River. He goes out in the wilderness 40 days and nights. He's fasting. Satan comes and tempts him. And again, he didn't subdue Satan by saying, I'm son of God. Look at me. You know, No. He said every time he went back to the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. And now be done with you. Get out of here. Amen. And then the devil left him. And then he goes out and from town to town. He's going around teaching. And he's teaching, and we saw exactly what he was teaching when you go over into Luke 4, as was his custom. He goes to church. Jesus went to church. And then when he gets to church, he would turn over to the book of Isaiah, and then he would share, I am this anointed one that Isaiah prophesied 800 years ago. I'm here. And this is what this anointing is here to do. And then he would say, this today has this scripture been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. And then he would set about to teach them about that anointing, to teach them about how the kingdom of God is now come, how it operates. And then after faith, he's preaching all the while. Again, what do we know about faith? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So he had to teach the people, faith would rise. Amen. And now he could send out that altar call, so to speak. Does anyone need healing? Come on up. Amen. And then he would minister healing to each one of them. He was not healing them according to his faith. He was healing them according to their faith. Every time, it's why, again, Jesus is always so keenly interested in the faith of the people. Again, he says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible because I'm so powerful. No, Mark 9:23 says all things are possible to him who believes. He put the qualification for the breakthrough, for the miracle, for the provision every time on the person, not himself. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Oh, and again, his disciples over and over again, he's always trying to pull faith out of them. And so his conversation is always wrapped around faith. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so we saw this on Wednesday night with Peter. Peter gets out of the boat, which took a lot of faith. Up until this point, Jesus is only the person we've seen walking on water, and now Peter joins him. Peter, so again, this was really an invitation for Peter and the rest of the disciples to enter into this same lifestyle of faith. So Peter asked Jesus, Lord, if that's you, command me. Command me. Give me a faith command. Give me a word, Jesus. So Peter's pulling on the word of God himself, Jesus, give me a word, give me a faith command. And so Jesus gives him one word, come, come. That's all Peter was looking for. So Peter takes that word and he gets out of the boat and he steps onto the word of God. Amen. He steps on this word, come, which held him. He could have been in midair. The water was insignificant, really. He could have been anywhere. He's just walking on the water, on top of that water to come to Jesus. And then, of course, we saw, you know, he takes his eyes off Jesus and says, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's walking by revelation knowledge on this word come. He takes his eyes off the word and he puts them on the circumstances. The wind, it's so strong. Wait, I'm out. Water? What? He sinks. But he says, Jesus. And of course, the Lord comes and immediately grasps his hand and saves him, and they get back in the boat, right? And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, again, he's demonstrated great faith, but then he operates in little faith. So again, whether he took one step or five or 10 steps, we don't know exactly. That's not really the point. At some point, he's operating in great faith. And then his faith turns into no faith. And so Jesus, again, he's always speaking about faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. Amen. Again, same thing when Jesus is in the boat. There's a great hurricane that comes up. Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. You talk about the Prince of Peace. In the middle of a hurricane, you're in a boat and you're sleeping. That's supernatural. Amen. But they wake him up. Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. Jesus rises up, speaks to the wind, gives it a command, peace, be still. And then he turns around to them. Why are you so fearful? Why are you doubting? Where's your faith? Amen. Every time, Jesus is always interested in working with people to help them get to that point of faith, because faith is what makes the connection. Again, we've said this over and over again for months. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith is what makes the connection between it's in any realm, but specifically for us in this natural realm. Faith reaches over into the realm of the spirit. Faith reaches over into the kingdom, and all of that provision, that healing, that peace, it reaches over and says it appropriates it into this natural realm. So in this earth, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador does not represent themselves. An ambassador does not go to a foreign territory in their name. You know, when you show up, a foreign power, a foreign dignitary, a foreign king could care less what your name really is. He cares about the one you represent. I represent Christ. I represent the King of Kings. I'm not here speaking in Rodney's authority. I'm speaking in Christ Jesus' authority. An ambassador does not live, they do not get their sustenance, they do not get their life from the kingdom that they're going to. They get it from where they come from. I am an ambassador of Christ. The scripture says in Colossians 3:1, I have, past tense, been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. That's where you really are, in the spirit. And because I have a body, I'm licensed to operate in this earth. And so I come in this earth realm, praise God, on kingdom assignment, and I take the things that are of the kingdom and I speak them into this earth, and they become. This is exactly how the first Adam operated. This is exactly how Jesus, the second Adam, operated. And this is exactly how you and I are to operate. Praise God. John chapter 14. This is all bonus today. This is not in our notes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 14. Red words. Jesus has a powerful statement. Again, Jesus, John 14, 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Again, he's talking about believing. He's talking about faith. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Selah. Here's Jesus. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he's not here as Son of God. He's operating as Son of Man. He says all these signs and wonders and miracles and healings and all of this stuff, none of this happened because I'm Jesus. All of it has occurred because I've heard from the Father, and I've only said what I've heard him say. I've only done what I've seen him do. And as he reveals it to me, I say it, I do it, and the Father dwelling in me, he does his works. Amen. That's a model for you and us to follow, for you and I to follow. That's why we see again in 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are an ambassador of Christ. He is Christ in the earth, but Christ does not operate exclusively under his own command. No, Christ is submitted to the will of the Father. Christ is responsible to hear from the Father. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So again, flip it on its head. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's exactly how Jesus functioned. Not exclusively, but as a model for us to follow. I'm to hear from God. I'm to say what God says and allow God to do his work through that word. Amen. Let's read on. So again, John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Well, that's true for you and I today. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You didn't get another spirit. You got the same spirit. You got the same resurrection life. You got the same spirit of Christ. He's going to say in verse 19, 20, do you not know that your body is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own. You have no business deciding for your life what I'm going to do, how I'm going to go, how I'm going to live. No, that's not right. That's not right. I'm responsible to the one who owns me. I'm responsible to the one who bought me. If I have truly made Jesus my Savior, which also makes him the Lord over my life, then I need to give him that place. I have to actually make Jesus Lord. And if he's Lord, I don't decide, he does. Selah. I'm not the Lord of my life. I'm not just free to do whatever I want. Yes, you have a free will, but you're to bring your will under his will.
Amen.
Jesus, not my will. Oh, Father, your will be done. Amen. Glory to God. How are we going to do it? Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I choose to listen, and I choose to be obedient to whatever he tells me. And whatever he tells me, I'm going to go do it, and it's going to work out every time for eternal glory, for the eternal glory. Again, what is our life? What is our life? What good does it if we go about trying to do this and trying to do that? And even the scripture says, if you gain the whole world, what's the point? What's the point of it? The whole point of it is to hear from God and do what he tells you. And if all he ever does is tell you to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, amen, then there's an exceeding great reward for it. You'll be blessed by it. If all he ever does is tell you to clean the toilet, do it. Be the best at it. You'll be blessed for it.
Amen.
Amen. He who is faithful in the little things just says, I'll make you faithful over much. A lot of times people don't want to step out and do anything until God gives them something great and big to do. You know, I'm somebody. I've got skills. I've got talents. I do this and I do that. Amen. You know, how dare you ask me to do something as trivial as this? That's not worthy of me. Oh, no, no, no. There's nothing. If God has asked me to do what I would think is the most menial thing, that is of great value, that is of great significance. I treasure that. I treasure that. Amen? Yeah. Ha-ha. There's nothing more important than what God has called you to do. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can't do it good enough. You can't do it big enough. You can't do it excellent enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Those who honor me, he says, I will honor. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who will despise or lightly esteem, he says, they will be lightly esteemed as well. Amen. However you measure it out is how it's going to be measured back to you. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, you know where you're going. Amen. I'm just, this is your word. I'm just here to deliver it as you see fit. Again, verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on me on account of the works themselves. And now he says something here that we would say, I'm from Texas. We would say, hold on to your seat, buckle up. Jesus says, truly, truly. If he says it twice, he said, I know this is about to part your hair. I know this is going to put a little crease, but hold on now. Hold on. You know, If you got a religious bone in your body, it's going to come out, you know. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he or she who believes in me will do. Say, I will do. he says, believes in me will do the works that I do also. Now hold fast. And he will do greater works. Greater works than these. Greater works than these. Because I go unto my Father. He says, my earthly ministry, my license, my authority to operate in this earth as I have been is now going away. I've got to go to the Father. However, the works that I did, they will be carried on through my ambassadors. You're my ambassador. Here's something we need to understand. Your body, aka your earth suit, is what actually gives you authority to operate in this earth. God, in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, created man in his image and in his likeness. And at that moment in time, he also delegates dominion, which is the earth itself. That's a domain. He says, I've given you dominion over the earth and authority to subdue it. That dominion and that authority was complete. It wasn't halfway about it. When God wants something done in the earth, he has to do it through a man. He has to have a man who will listen to what he says and do what he says do. Then the Father is able to do his work through that man.
Yeah.
God, here's the thing. It's not that he won't. It's that he can't. A lot of people just say, well, God's in control. No, he's actually not in that sense. Yes, he's in control of the overarching eternal plan of God.
Yeah.
He gets his will done in the earth through you and I. If and until someone will cooperate with him, if and until someone will say what he says, does what he does the way he tells them to do it, it will not happen in the earth.
Right.
God is always looking for a man. He finally found one in Abraham.
Yeah.
This is why he calls Abraham, number one, his friend, which really means his covenant. That word friend is really his covenant partner.
Amen.
This is my covenant partner. And he says, I call you a covenant friend. And he also calls him the father of faith. Again, God's always interested in faith. What is faith? Jesus says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Abraham exercised faith in God. I heard what God said. I did what God told me to do, even when I couldn't see it, even when I couldn't figure it out. Amen. When Abraham is 75 years old, you know, his family's worshiping the moon and all this type of stuff. God appears to him, gives him a word, get up, go to a land in which I'll show you. He gets up, he gathers his family, and they start going. Years later, you know, God keeps giving progressive revelation to him. He gives him this word, you're going to be the father of many nations. Amen. You know, and even at the point where Sarah is, you know, 91, 92 years old, he's 99. She's finally, you know, she's been barren her whole life. She's obviously well past the age of childbearing. God renews their strength, touches her body specifically, obviously, you know, and she goes on and she bears the son Isaac. Amen. Praise God. They believe God. They acted on what he told them to do. And for this reason, he says, you are now the father of faith. Glory to God. He's always after faith. Always after faith. I believe we got an introduction. Glory to God. So today we're going to be continue looking at miracles. Again, you can choose to be an admirer. You can read the scripture and you could admire Jesus. You know, we can go and we could admire others. Miracles, signs, wonders, the word of God is not meant to be admired. It's meant to be believed, received, and walked out by faith for yourself. Paul reveals this right off and when he's writing to the book, right to the church in Rome, Romans 1:17, he says, the just, the justified, you and I, the righteous, shall live by faith. You shall live. There's not an option. That's not a suggestion. And again, this is, you'll find this in the Old Testament, same phrase. He actually borrowed that phrase from the Old Testament. Over in the book of Habakkuk, specifically, he takes this phrase, says, the just shall live by faith. He goes on preaching faith, 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 faith. He get over into Romans 10:8. This is the word of faith, which we preach. You believe it in your heart. You confess it out of your mouth. It's done. He uses salvation actually as the analogy to talk about how faith works, just how simple it is. You receive the greatest miracle known to mankind, which is the new birth. You were a sinner serving Satan on your way to hell. And in a moment of time, you confess Jesus as your Lord and you were born again. You are a new creation. Your eternal destiny is no longer the lake of fire. It's seated at the right hand of God. Everything else will always pale in comparison to that miracle. Glory to God, raising the dead, healing the sick, all of that pales in comparison to the new birth. He says, this is the word of faith, which we, if you can just do something as simple as I believe Jesus is Lord, and you, if you will in turn confess this out of your mouth, you shall, no maybe about it, you shall be saved, period. Don't add to, don't take away, that's it. Now, if you can do the same thing, huh? 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Well, if I were healed, I am healed. If I'll believe that in my heart, if I'll confess that out of my mouth, I'll be healed. Amen. That's exactly how it works. Everything in the kingdom works exactly the same way. Again, faith is what he's always after because faith is what makes the exchange. You and I, in another sense, you and I are the establishing covenant witnesses in this earth. There, we have a covenant with Almighty God. How is it going to manifest in this earth? I'm going to be the one to establish it. I'm going to be the one to believe it. I'm going to be the one to receive it, and I'm going to say it out. Amen, and it shall surely come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we saw here a couple of weeks ago, the centurion, which taught us that faith understands authority. Again, the centurion says, I've got 100 soldiers under me. I've got those that I answer to. I say to one, go and he goes, another come and he come. Jesus, you don't even need to come and I'm under my roof. I'm not even worthy that you need to even come to my house. You just send the word, my servant will be healed. His faith spoke. Again, he didn't suggest, well, maybe you know best, Jesus. Maybe he says, no, I see how this operates. I understand how this authority functions, and all you need to do is send a word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus did, and the servant was. Amen. We saw here last week the two blind men taught us that faith must become personal faith. There's a big difference between just having general faith, well, God can, and God's big and powerful, and all this and that, and you don't know, versus, no, I receive Jesus, you are my healer, and I receive my healing today. I went from general out here faith, God can, God hopefully maybe, to know Jesus can, he will, and it's mine now. Amen. And the two blind men received their sight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today we're going to look at who was blind, Bartimaeus, and see here that he what is revealed in this scripture, that he teaches us that faith refuses to be silent. He was blind. He was begging. He was an outsider. He's marginalized. He was also ignored. But he had something that everyone else around him seemed to be lacking, and that was revelation knowledge. Uh-huh. Where there's revelation that will cause a revolution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where there is revelation, there will be a revolution. When Jesus passes by, Bartimaeus cries out with a title that only revelation could give. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Glory to God. So this miracle we're going to see here is going to show us how Jesus responds to persistent, focused, or personal faith, and how he is still asking us the same question today. What do you want me to do for you? Specifically. Amen. So let's look at this. There's actually two accounts to this. We're going to look at Mark's account, Mark 10, 46 through 52. You can also find the parallel to this in Luke chapter 18. But in Mark 10, 46, next they came to Jericho. So just quickly setting the table here. Jesus is on his way with all of his disciples and followers. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the triumphant entry. A few days later is going to be the Passover. He's going to be crucified. So this is literally maybe a week before his crucifixion. He's on his way. So just where we're at. So again, he's had 3.5 years of public ministry. He's on his way. Next, they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho with a large crowd, again, we don't know what a large crowd is. They could have had 1,000. They could have had 20,000. A large crowd. It says, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, verse 48, this is interesting. Many people admonished him to be silent. Again, 3.5 years of public ministry. Everybody in Israel and either other parts of the world have heard about Jesus. They've heard about how he's been teaching. They've heard about the loaves and fishes. He did this. He fed the multitude more than once. How he's gone about healing everybody, all of these places, and now he's passing through Jericho. There's a blind man, and all these people around Bartimaeus are telling him, hush, 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 be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. I just find that interesting. You know, it's like surely there would be in a group of them around, hey, blind man, healer, Jesus, come on. Nobody. They're all saying, hush, hush, don't disturb the master, don't disturb the master. Like, what have y'all been listening to for 3.5 years? What? There's something in that. The Lord, well, we might touch on that in a minute. We'll see. He began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many people admonished him to be silent, but he cried out all the louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears. Jesus stops and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Take courage, they said. Get up. He's calling for you. Now, this is significant. Throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked, as if it wasn't obvious.
Right.
It was, but Jesus still has to ask this question. Rabboni, said the blind man, let me see again. Go, said Jesus. If you look over at Luke's account in Luke 18, all of this account is exactly perfectly parallel to it, word for word. But in this word, verse 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Luke records it, receive your sight, says Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Both mean the same thing. Let me see again. Well, go. Be healed. Your faith has healed you. Amen. So when you see that's what he's saying. And he says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. No doubt he followed him all the way to Jerusalem and was part of that triumphant entry. No doubt about it. And if this had been early on in Jesus' ministry, I would like to think that he would have just stuck with him the whole time. I mean, where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to just hold on to that for time's sake. So we're going to look here at what Jesus brings to this moment. So again, we're examining, we're dissecting these miracles. What does Jesus bring? Jesus responds to a cry rooted in revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is what produces faith. With real faith, this will produce a corresponding action, which completes the cycle, which means faith is now producing that result. Faith that you believe in your heart, that you are saying it out of your mouth, you're acting in agreement with it, that is the blueprint, that is the recipe for how faith works. That's how it makes the connection. As long as faith is just in your heart or in your head and not coming out of your mouth, not being acted upon, it will lie dormant, it will do nothing. It has to be a revelation in your heart. It's believe it in my heart, and I'm saying it out of my mouth. Amen. And as far as I can see to do, I'm now acting accordingly as if it was so from the moment I said it. Hallelujah. Noticing here that others see Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. They see him as, so again, they had different perceptions about who Jesus is. Maybe they saw him as a teacher. Maybe they saw him as a miracle worker. You know, hey, he can multiply loaves and fishes. They all have different concepts, but they see him as Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, wait a minute, you said Jesus of Nazareth is here? Jesus, son of David. Jesus, son of David. What is he saying? Son of David is again, that messianic term. We saw it last week with the two blind men. Same thing. Son of David, Messiah, Christ, have mercy, which mercy in this sense, heal me. Christ, Messiah, heal me. Messiah, Christ, heal me. Everyone else just sees Jesus of Nazareth. You know, he's a popular figure, you know. He draws a large crowd, you know? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We see this a couple more times again. Last week, the two blind men, son of David. We also see the Canaanite woman will cry out, son of David, and her daughter is healed, Matthew 15:22. Noting here that revelation that is acted upon is the recipe of faith, and it will always move Jesus. Jesus stops for the cry of faith. Again, the crowd tries to silence Bartimaeus, but Jesus stops for him. Jesus stops for him. This is reminiscent of the woman with the issue of blood. Large crowd. People are thronging about him. Jesus of Nazareth is here. And yet this one woman runs up in faith and grabs the hem of his garment and receives her miracle, and she thinks she's just going to run off. Jesus stops. Jesus stops. Power has flowed from me. Someone reached out and touched me in faith. Who was it? Who was it? The woman. Oh, it was me, Jesus. It was me. You know, and he has a conversation with her, and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. Amen. Glory to God. There was healing power present for everybody in the crowd. One person touched him in faith. One person received their healing that day, the woman with the issue of blood. There's a large crowd of people. They see him as Jesus of Nazareth. One person in faith, son of David, receives his miracle. How many other people missed their miracle that day? There's a large crowd. Only one person responded to him in faith. Healing power was present. The scripture says the four boys who tore the roof off of Jesus let their friend or relative down in front of him.
Yeah.
The scripture says there was healing power present to heal them all. We have record of one miracle taking place that night.
Wow.
Just one. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with him being Son of God. It has everything to do with those who will come to him in faith and receive a word, receive a touch. Again, they really set the conditions for how they're going to be healed. You just need to send a word, Jesus. Wait, I don't need to see your face. You just send the word. Amen. Again, according to their faith, they received it. We'll go on to see this again. The one with the issue of blood, he was on the way to Jairus' house. His daughter's dead. Jairus, he's the ruler of the synagogue. He's the pastor of the local church right down the street from Jesus' house. He could have said, hey, Jesus, just send the word, my daughter will be healed. His faith was, I need you to come to the house. So Jesus just meets him where he is. He goes on to the house and raises her up. We'll see more about that in the weeks to come. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the crowd tries to silence him, but Jesus stops for him. Faith that refuses to be silent will always get Jesus' attention. Again, faith must be spoken. It must be spoken. There's no such thing as silent faith or silent prayer. Prayer's not silent. Prayer is communication. Say something. Receive something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is always looking for faith, and he will always respond to faith. That's what he's been teaching for. I'm just trying to get somebody to believe a word. If you'll believe the word, we got something to work with. We can work a miracle. Amen. If I can just work with your faith a little bit, we can get something done here. As was his pattern, Jesus says in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he's talking about the day of his return, which is any day now. What does he say? Of all things he could say, what does he say? Will I find faith? Will I find faith in the earth? Is it important? Is it a big deal? Does it matter? Oh, yes. Jesus is so keenly interested. He's always talking about faith. What about your faith? Little faith, great faith, no faith. When I come back, will I find faith? Will I? You just go ahead and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Let's see here. Matthew 4:23. Jesus, again, this is at the start of his ministry. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues. He's going to church and he's teaching. Number one is to teach, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Notice the order. It's put in that order for a reason. Number one, he is teaching. This word teaching is the word didasco. It means to teach, to cause to learn, to instruct, to impart knowledge. It means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. This morning, I am didasco. I am teaching you. Hallelujah. To hold discourse with others to instruct them. Teaching is giving people specific information and instruction with the assumption they will act upon this knowledge. So I'm going to teach you, I'm going to instruct you how the kingdom of God operates. Again, what is Jesus? Everywhere he goes, he's teaching, the kingdom is now here. The kingdom is now here. That's the teaching part. That's also the preaching part. And then he demonstrates through how the kingdom of God operates. So what I've taught you, I'm now working with you to demonstrate this is this healing miracle. This is this breakthrough that you've been trying to achieve. Again, he's not skipping the teaching and preaching and just trying to perform a miracle. That would be all on Jesus's faith and nobody else's faith. He says, no, I need to teach and preach because I need your faith in order to get this done. Hallelujah. Which really answers the question. I prayed, nothing happened. Must not have been his will. This is happening all over the planet. Most of the body of Christ, no faith. Faith begins where the will of God is first known. That's the teaching part. If and until you will settle in your heart and mind once and for all, it's his will for me to be saved. Yep. It's his will for me to be healed. It's his will for me to be blessed. It's his will for me to know what the will of God is for my life. I can know what the will of God is. Amen. If and until you will first settle that issue. If and until you will settle that issue, nothing is ever going to happen. You will not be able to have the faith to receive healing if you don't believe that healing is his will and be absolutely convinced of it. As long as it's out here, general faith, well, God can, he has the power. healing is always going to stay out here somewhere. But here's the truth. Healing's not out here. Healing's right here. The healer lives in you.
Yes.
Christ, you died. Christ moved in. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. I have been crucified. That old sinful, sorry self was nailed to the cross with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer that old sinful attached to Satan Rodney who lives, but Christ now lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith. Always about faith. I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave his life for me. I live by faith. Every day, it's always I live by faith. So again, Philemon 1:6, let's just turn over there. We taught a whole sermon last year on this one scripture. And this scripture, Philemon, so Hebrews, turn left. Philemon, just the one chapter, verse 6. This scripture is literally the key to unlocking the New Testament. Or you could say it's the key to unlocking your new life in Christ. This one scripture, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says that the sharing, that word sharing is the word koinonia. It means intimate fellowship. He says, I pray that the sharing or this intimate fellowship, again, we're talking about a two-way conversation here. I pray this intimate fellowship of your faith may be most effective. So again, if you want your faith to be effective, it's going to come through this partnership. It's going to come through this intimate fellowship with Christ. He says, I pray this sharing, this intimate fellowship of your faith may become most effective. It's going to get results, just like Jesus got. Again, the works that I do, you will do. And even greater works, you will do. How is he doing it? Through the intimate fellowship. The intimate fellowship. Most effective how? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:17. As he is. So every time you look at a situation, you always need to look at that. How is he today? How is Christ today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, clothed with majesty, given the name above all names in heaven, in this earth, under the earth, in this age, and in all the ages to come. That's how he is. Is he Jehovah Rapha, your healer? Yes, he is. Is he Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and provides? Yes, he is. All of these names you see throughout the Bible, all of it is culminated in Jesus. This one name carries the entire volume of the book. That's how he is. He says, as he is, so are you in the earth. Not just in the day. This is not a someday gospel. However he is, I am right now. It's not me, it's Christ in me. It's not me. I died. Christ moved in. When I'm faced with situations, finances, family, body, whatever it is, always take it back to the book. Who is Christ? That's me. Again, there's roughly 180 references in the New Testament, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in him, in whom. All of these, you can just, where it says Christ, just put your name. You and Christ, the name is interchangeable. You are Christ. Christ is you. All that Christ is, I am. Don't take, okay. Colossians chapter 2. I think we need another scripture on this. Dare I believe that? Dare I believe that? Don't just take my word for it. believe your Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him. Again, this is one of those highly significant in him, in Christ scriptures. For in him lives all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are, not will be, not might be, I hope to be, if I do this, that, and the other. He says, no, you are, past tense, present, complete in him. You are complete. There's nothing more that Christ needs to do that he hasn't already done. Nothing. You need salvation? There's nothing more he needs to do about that. You need healing? There's nothing more he needs to do about that. He already went to the cross. He already took stripes on his back. What more can he do? He said, I did it once for all time, for all who will believe it. If you need healing, you don't need to be praying to him, oh God, please heal me. All he's doing is repeating back to you, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I've already healed you. I've already delegated the authority over the devil to you. Jesus said as much in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. Authority. Where do we give his authority to? He gave it, number one, in the earth. He gave it to us, the believer, to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you've got something hurting you, you do not need to pray to God, please heal me. God, please do something about this cancer. God, please do something about that devil. God, please do something with that relative. No. You have the authority. You have the name. You have Christ in you. You speak to that mountain. This is why Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in what he said. Hear from God. Say what he says. Have the God kind of faith. And then he goes on to, again, to give you another example. If you will but speak to this mountain, you mountain, you be removed. You be cast into the sea. Don't you ever come back. He says it'll be cast out into the sea, swallowed up. You'll never see it again. He says, only believe in your heart and don't doubt. You'll say it, it'll happen. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, that word ask really means to make a faith demand. When you pray, again, I'm having communion with God, it will be done for you. He does not tell you, pray to God, do something about that mountain. Does not do it. There's no scripture you'll find that says, if you'll just pray to God hard enough and long enough to get a prayer chain and a prayer team and y'all pray, God, please do something about that mountain in my life. Please do something about that mountain of debt. Please do something about that disease. Not in the book. You speak to that mountain. You have the authority in the earth. Now, I've given you the victory. I've given you my name and all of that victory it possesses. If you'll just use the name, that mountain will go. As long as you're wasting time and breath and energy praying to me about the mountain, there's nothing I can do about it. It's not so much that I won't, it's he said, I can't. You have the authority. I do not have authority in the earth. He has, man is the one with the dominion and authority in the earth. And if and until the man will do or say something about it, it won't happen. And you'll be really frustrated. And again, denominations that we're all having. So again, what happened? At some point in time, somebody lost hold of their authority that they were operating in and teaching and preaching. And they said, you know what? We're going to pray to God and ask him to do something about it. And nothing happened. Well, it must not be God's will. Healing has obviously passed away. It was for that time. It was for the early church. Tongues and all, it's all passed away. No, someone was trying to pray to get God to do something he's already given. They lost hold of faith. They lost hold of their authority. And then they just started making excuses for why God let bad things happen. as if. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He was the Savior. He is the Savior. He will forever be the Savior. He was the healer. Old Testament, he's Jehovah Rapha revealed to them. I am the healer. I will forever be the healer. Amen. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no lack. There's no demonic activity in heaven. Not at the throne of God. That is where we live from. I take what is truth, the kingdom. I speak that truth into this earth and it becomes. Hallelujah. Teaching, didasco, preaching. Preaching is the word caruso. It means to proclaim, to preach a message publicly and with conviction and persuasion. Preaching assumes that people have been instructed correctly and that you are now encouraging them to act upon what they've heard or what they know. Healing is the word therupao. It means to care for, to attend, to serve, to treat, especially of that of a physician, a healer. It means to reverse a condition, to restore a person having an illness or a disease or an infirmity. Noticing something about Jesus's ministry, again, 3.5 years in public ministry, the first year of his ministry was known as the year of obscurity. That's interesting. Which is why he would often tell people to not go and publicize the miracle they received. We looked last Sunday at the two blind men. He brings them, they come into the house. He ministers to them that their faith makes that connection and they receive their sight. But then he tells them, don't go and spread this. Don't go tell this. And of course, they went out the door and they started telling it. and this happened more than once. He would tell them again, he was trying to go about number one. He says, I need to be able to teach the people first. I need to be able to preach the people first. If all they're hearing about is the miracle, they don't even want to come to and hear the teaching part. They just want to come for the show. They just want to come to see the miracle loaves and fishes. They just want to come for this. But I need to get faith into them. I need to be able to teach them faith. That's why he would tell them, don't go spread it yet. You don't go spread this yet. Later on, the cat's out of the bag. It's okay. You know. But again, he's here to teach faith. Glory to God. Teaching, preaching, and healing always in this order. Again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Bartimaeus, in calling out Jesus as Son of David and to have mercy, reveals that Bartimaeus had, number one, he heard the gospel at some point, and now his faith is calling out to Jesus. Again, everyone else in the crowd, Jesus of Nazareth, will you be quiet? Be quiet. Don't disturb him. No. Faith speaks. Faith rises up. Jesus says, call him. Again, Jesus asked him a faith-revealing question. Again, it's obvious he's blind. You know, when you see someone that's totally blind, is it not obvious that they're blind? Especially if they're trying to walk down the road somewhere. Right? Jesus asked him this obvious question. Oh, but there's a good reason for it. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, again, he's looking for this personal faith confession. Jesus is always trying to draw faith out of us. John 5:6, what do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? John 11:26, do you believe this? Matthew 9:28, do you believe I'm able? Again, he's looking for, I'm helping you to stir up your faith. I'm helping you to bring faith out of you because your faith is what's going to get this done, not me on my own. Again, real faith is of the heart and not just a general faith that says, yes, I know Jesus can save. Yes, I know Jesus can heal. Yes, I know Jesus can provide. Yes, I know Jesus can deliver. But no, real faith is specific and it's from the heart. It takes that same thing and says, no, Jesus, you are my Savior and I receive it now. Real faith of the heart says, Jesus, you are my healer, and I receive my healing now. Real faith says, Jesus, you are my provider, and I receive every bill paid, every need met, and I'm furnished in abundance. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Philippians 4:19. Amen. Jesus, you are my deliverer, and I receive. I'm free right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm going from this place free. Thank you, Jesus, I'm free. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm saved.
Amen.
Makes all the difference. Again, general faith versus my faith. Heart faith coming out of my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Glory to God. Jesus healed with the word of release. Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. Again, Luke 18:42 says, receive your sight. Jesus replied, your faith has healed you. Jesus, in this instance, last week, the two blind men, he touched their eyes and he spoke. This time, he just speaks the word. Go, receive your sight. Amen. And he did. thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus gives the faith command, but the faith that healed Bartimaeus was not Jesus' faith. It was Bartimaeus' faith that healed Bartimaeus. We know Jesus lives and operates by faith. We know that, but there has to be a connection. There has to be a faith connection on the other part. At the moment Bartimaeus' faith made contact with the power of God, he was healed. We see this in Mark 5:34. Your faith has made you well. Again, Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, amen, be it done unto you. Faith receives the miracle. Let's all say it. Faith receives the miracle. It receives it. The healing was finished. Healing power, that's not the issue. The only issue is, will you receive it?
Yes.
Faith is the currency that takes it. Faith is the currency that just takes what's already present. Again, over and over, large crowds, healing power is present to heal them all. And only this one or that one or Bartimaeus received it. And yet they all could have done the exact same thing, especially if they saw him do it. Hey, Son of David, Christ, Messiah, totally awesome miracle. Hey, I've got this knee pain, Jesus. Can you? They didn't, but they could have. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at what Bartimaeus did. We're going to go through this quickly. Number one, he heard. At some point, he's heard about Jesus. So again, he's sitting along this roadway. Again, I'm sure he has all types of interactions on a daily basis. At some point, someone told him about Jesus. Hey, Jesus is out here. Have you heard about Jesus? You know, and at some point, so again, it says he needed to, both accounts says he needed to receive his sight again. He wasn't born blind. At some point, he had eyesight.
Yeah.
At some point, he was taught the scriptures. He heard the scriptures. He's heard about Jesus, and all of a sudden, in his mind, he makes the connection. He's doing what? He's doing what? He's healing all these people? That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. He's been hearing it.
Yeah.
And much like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, if Jesus passes by here, I'm going to get me my healing. And that's exactly what happened. He's been meditating on this. He's been thinking about this. There's someone in the land. Christ is here, and I'm going to get me my healing. So again, when he's passing by, he won't be signed, Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, oh, praise God. He heard something about Jesus. He's crying out. He refuses to be silent, but this is really significant too. He throws off his cloak. The cloak represents his identity as a beggar. A beggar was required to have permission to beg from the local elders, and the elders would have provided a special cloak. So again, there's some type of identification on this cloak that says this is a beggar's cloak. This beggar's cloak gives you a license to beg. So again, he's been examined by a doctor, whatever your disability, you are examined. And after you're examined, the town council says, okay, here's you a cloak. You can go out here in the street and you can beg. All right. He throws off the coat. He throws it off. Why does he throw it off? I don't need this no more. I don't need this no more. Jesus is here. I've been meditating on this. I've been thinking about this. Oh, he's here. Boom. I'm running out of this old identity and I'm running into a new one. Amen. So he throws off his past. He throws off his limitations. He throws off his old life. Oh, and this is a major act of faith. He's casting off the very thing that has sustained him and identified him, but really what has held him back. He threw off what was holding him back. He's saying, today is my day. Amen. Today is my day. I'm leaving this old life behind. I'm entering into a new life, healed and made whole. I'm going to live my life for the glory of God. I'm not going to be bound in darkness anymore. No more. Today is my day. Amen. At some point, you've got to say, enough is enough. Today is my day. Today is my day.
Praise God.
Today's my day. Enough is enough. I've been blind these 10, 20 years, however long. Today's my day. Throw it off. Cast it off. I'm entering into to his goodness. I'm entering into my miracle, and I'm taking it right now. I'm taking it right now. Again, faith is an act. You've got to add core. He said it, Son of David, have mercy. But oh, he's throwing this off. Everything he can see to do to enter it, he is running towards this.
Yes.
Now, Jesus asked him personally, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Rabboni, let me see again. Rabboni means Lord or Master. A statement of honor and a confession of his authority. So again, we saw this last week with the two blind men. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Same thing, really. And then they respond back to him after he asked them the question. They say, Lord. He says the same thing, Rabboni, Lord. They're called that. He's already called him the Christ. He's recognizing you have the authority to heal me. Have mercy on me. Heal me. And then he goes a step further, says, no, you're Lord. You are my master. You are my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus responds. So Jesus helps make his faith personal. Jesus helps him from a general faith to personal faith. Number one, he's heard about Jesus. He's cried out to Jesus. He has pursued Jesus. And even with all of this, Jesus needed to know, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Again, he's just pulling every ounce of faith out of him that he can get. He's pulling on it. Jesus is pulling your faith this morning. He's pulling on your faith. He's pulling on your faith. Hallelujah. Jesus helped bring his faith to full expression. Amen. Bartimaeus responds, I want to see. Again, faith must be specific and it must be from the heart. Jesus required heart faith, but he also requires the mouth confession. Again, we touched on this, Romans 10:10, the blueprint of faith. The heart, with the heart you believe, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. As long as you just believe that Jesus can save, Jesus can heal, it will just stay right there in the realm of possibility. Oh, but when you will add corresponding action to it and declare it out of your mouth, Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my provider. Jesus, you're my healer. That makes the connection. At that moment, you're saved. At that moment, you're healed. Now, remember the fig tree. Jesus spoke 9 faith-filled words to that fig tree. May no one ever eat fruit of you hereafter again. Turns and walks away. Nothing looks different. They pass by later on, and it's still the same. But the next day, 24 hours later, Peter looks over and says, oh, that fig tree you cursed has dried up from the roots. The word was working the entire time. Amen. The word was working the entire time. You just didn't see immediate results with the natural eye. But in the realm of the spirit, that word was working immediately on that root. By faith, receive your healing. You may see an instant miracle, an instant manifestation, but hold fast to it regardless, because the word is still working Don't turn loose of it. Do not be defeated by time. Don't be defeated by feelings.
Right.
No, I'm holding fast to my confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward, Hebrews chapter 10. It has great recompense of reward. It'll surely come to pass. Just have faith. Have faith in God. All things are possible to him who believes. Again, Bartimaeus' miracle happens at the intersection of his heart faith. I believe you are the Christ. I believe you can heal me. Amen. And it saw its manifestation at his confession, Rabboni, Lord, let me see again. Lord, let me see again. And Jesus just responds so sweetly, go, receive your sight. Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Yes, I've been preaching the word. You heard this word. Oh, but now we're here. Now the connection has come full circle. Amen. You've responded to the word the only appropriate way. Faith is the only appropriate response to the word. That's the only appropriate response is faith. I believe it. I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to homologio. I'm going to say the same thing. God, you said it. It can't be any other way. That is truth. And I establish it as truth in my life, in my body, in my house, in my finances today. Today. Today's my day. Again, faith is not faith until it's now. Faith is always now. If you have faith in the future, that's just hope. That's just hope. That's not faith. It will not make the connection. It will always be something tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. No, faith is always now. Now, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Your faith has healed you. His confession proved his faith, which produced the miracle. Yeah, we're closing here. Faith dynamics. Again, just a quick recap. How was this miracle activated? What he heard. At some point, Bartimaeus heard about Jesus' ministry, all that's been accomplished in that ministry, and now he is passing by. What did he believe? He believed that Jesus is Son of David, or he is the Christ, and he has the authority to heal me. I just need to get to him. What did he say? He had to say it. Have mercy on me. Again, he's asking for healing. What did he do? He refused to be silent. I'm not going to let you steal my miracle from me today. Get out of my way. Don't tell me to hush. No, I'm going to get it. Devil, get behind me. Get behind me. Devil, it's written you're a liar and the father of them. I don't have to receive that trash. Get out. The word says, by his stripes, I'm healed, and I'm coming to get my healing today. Amen. He throws off his old identity. Amen. Again, whatever's been holding on to your past, you have to make a decisive dedication. I'm done with that. Amen. I'm done with that. I'm done with my cigarettes. I'm done with the alcohol. I'm done with these addictions. I'm done with these ungodly soul ties. I'm done with these ungodly friends who are trying to hold me back. Whatever it is, cast it off. Amen. Throw it off. Make a decisive dedication once and for all. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Whatever it is, you have to act. Take a step of faith. Ask Holy Spirit, what's my faith step today? Let him show you. It may be one big step. It may be three steps. Let him show you. He'll help you. Amen. Again, heart, faith plus mouth confession. This activation point, Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Amen. What follows? He receives his sight and he follows Jesus, I'm sure, all the way on to Jerusalem, to the triumphant entry. Praise God. So again, how can we receive like Bartimaeus? Number one, hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word only until faith rises. It's obvious he was not double-minded. He heard the word and he allowed the word of God to gain entry into his heart. There's no double-mindedness about his actions or his confessions. He's throwing off the cloak. He's declaring Christ. He's declaring healer. He's declaring Lord. All of these, I mean, he's operating in all the faith he's got. Amen. And Jesus loves it. Jesus is just lapping it up. Come on, boy. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, faith begins by hearing. Faith will always stop at the question mark. Again, if I don't know, if I don't know, if I'm not convinced, Jesus, you're not just the healer, you're my healer. You're not just the Savior, you're my Savior. If I don't know that, my faith will be cut off at that point. Again, Jesus says, Mark 9:23, all things are possible. All things. There's no limitations. All things are possible, not according to what I can do, according to you, your faith, according to what you believe. If you don't believe this, if you don't know this, we're done. We're done. I can't help you. It's not that I won't. It's not that I can't. It's the fact that I can't because you won't allow me to because your faith is not there. Again, faith is what makes that connection. Hallelujah. Cry out with revelation. Call him who he is, my Christ, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. He'll be that for you. He will be what you call him in your life. Now, he is. He will reveal it. It will be a manifestation to you of healing when you recognize him as your healer, the same as your Savior. Again, the word tells us he desires that no man perish, but that all men come into the saving knowledge of the truth. He's paid the price for salvation for every man, but only those who will believe it and receive it for themselves can be saved. It's not his will that any should perish. It's not his will that any be sick. It's not his will that any live in poverty. But if and until you receive him as your provider, as your healer, as your redeemer, as your deliverer, again, you can miss out on all of that. Even though you might be going to heaven, you can still miss out on all of the kingdom benefits. And it's not just that you're missing out. What about your ministry? Greater works, the same works and even greater works will you do? Well, if I don't know this, if I don't believe it, if I can't receive it for myself, how am I going to minister it to you? You won't. And the plan and purpose of God for your life will go greatly unfulfilled in those areas. Amen? So this isn't just for you. Right. This is what he's endeavoring to get through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, if it was all just about you, we could just say, we're good. Punch my ticket. Let's go home to heaven. Which is far better. Paul said, it's far better. But for your sake, I'm going to stay. For your sake, I'm going to stay on a bit longer. Amen. Hallelujah. This goes so far beyond us. Glory to God. Again, we refuse to be silent. We're not going to let any crowd, fear, or shame quiet our faith. We're going to throw off the old identity. Again, anything that contradicts what Jesus is wanting to accomplish, everything that might be holding me back, I'm going to cast it off. Throw it off. Amen. Those days are over forever. Again, we're going to answer Jesus personally because he's still asking each one of us, what do you want me to do for you?
Amen.
What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want wisdom. I want to know how to operate in this day. I want to know how to walk out my miracle. I want to know what my ministry is. I want to know what the plan and purpose for my life is. I want to know how to handle this situation. He's asking you. He's asking you all the time. He's trying to pull faith. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to? Will you dare to believe that I can show you what the plan of God is for your life? Will you dare to believe that you are healed and whole? Will you dare to believe? Again, he's pulling on you. He's always asking us, are we listening? Are we checking in? Again, Jesus did this constantly every night. He's getting up early in the morning, if not all night, to pray. What is he doing? Checking with headquarters. Checking with Father. What's the plan? What's the purpose? What's your will? He's hearing. Two-way conversation. He goes out and he just lives that day by day. Over and over and over. Hallelujah. That's the pattern. Again, we're answering Jesus personally. What do you want me to do for you? We're responding to that question constantly. Amen. And now we're going to believe it in our heart. We're going to confess it with our mouth, which is that activation point. Amen. And we're going to receive according to our faith. You're not receiving according to my faith, the crowd's faith, amen, so-and-so's faith, you're receiving it according to your faith. Here's the good news. When you receive something according to your faith, you'll keep it.
Yeah.
You will keep it. Again, I have been in healing meetings, working with as an usher, you know, right up close and personal with healing evangelists. I've seen people in the ministry of a healing evangelist get healed. I mean, and some miraculous stuff. I've also heard a lot of and lots of stories from many healing evangelists talking about how someone would come to the meeting, get miraculously healed, blindness, all these other types of things. I mean, get miraculously and even instantly healed. And 3 months later, they're blind again. 6 months later, they got the same pains and all of this stuff. And then they would start having conversation with them and asking them, well, tell me what happened. Well, you know, I had this happen. And then, you know, I guess I'm just losing my healing. I guess it didn't work. Why? They never had faith on their own to get healed in the first place. They got healed under a healing anointing. They got healed in an environment of corporate faith, even though they themselves did not have faith. Amen. Well, I just believe that Jesus did it once. He just did it for good. Well, no, that's obvious. That doesn't work. You, because again, even if you got healed miraculously in this one area today, amen, if you're still operating in unbelief, the devil will just strap something else on you and you'll just go for it, hook, line, and sinker, because you didn't have faith to begin with. When you get healed according to your faith, when you understand he's my healer, sickness and disease, those days of running your life are over forever in every area.
Amen.
I'm here to testify to you tonight, today, personally. Amen. Was that a faith statement? Amen. Amen. Do we need to take a break? Y'all come back. I believe we could preach all day. Hallelujah. I discovered this faith message myself back in 2010. I had just given my life back to the Lord, and the Lord just, you know, started showing me these things, helping me. And I learned about faith. I learned about healing. And I'm here to tell you today, sickness and disease has been over in my life since then. Why? I know. I know what Bartimaeus knows. I know what Paul knows. I know what Peter knows. Such as I have given, I know this. I know this. I know it. I know it like Jesus knew it. It's written, get behind me. It's written, it's written, it's written. I know if I've got the word of God, I've got the authority of God, I've got the power of God to manifest itself. Amen. And I shared that testimony with you guys. It was right about that time that it was on a Friday night. I had all of a sudden, I mean, just I hadn't had any issues before. And all of a sudden I had severe tooth pain. I mean, it hurt bad. You know, and it's a Friday night, you know, there's, you know, there's no dentist office, you know, and anyway, so I just started learning these things, but I had revelation of it. So I spoke to that in the Jesus name, which took all of about 30 seconds or so. I mean, it doesn't take long, you know, make a faith demand, a confession, spoke to that thing and pain's still there. No different. Felt just worse if anything else. I spent the next hour in my little room walking around just praising God. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you for my healing. I want to thank you that you're my healer. And I'm just magnifying God. I'm just praising God. This goes on for an hour, no different. All of a sudden, boom, pain's completely gone. Go to bed. Wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, pain just as bad as it ever was. I could have, you know, and the Lord has healed me. I knew it. I could have said, well, I guess it didn't work. I guess it wasn't his will after all. I guess he's trying to teach me something. That's what it is. He's using sickness and disease to teach me something. Sickness and disease is not the teacher of the church. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. You've got to know that. So what did I do? I just rose up, got out of my bed. What else am I going to do? I walked around the room for the next hour. I didn't pray again. There's no point. I've already spoke to this thing. I told it where to go. What am I doing? I am enforcing that victory. I'm walking the floor. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. that you're my healer. I want to thank you that Satan is under my feet. I want to thank you that sickness and disease is no part of me. Ha, ha, ha. I praise God, magnifying his word for another hour. Again, what else am I going to do? Pain is just there, like, I mean, just as bad. An hour goes by, all of a sudden, boom, just like it was before, pain went away. That was 2010. Pain has never come back. Now, what was wrong with the tooth? Don't know, don't care. God healed it. I received it. Since that time, symptoms have tried to come. They don't stay very long. They try to come. In most cases, you know, what would seem like what would be like, well, the cold or the flu or the cough, in most cases, it'll be gone in 15 minutes or less. In most cases. Again, things try to come to us just as it does to anybody else. But I've learned it does, that is not mine. I've learned I have authority that has been delegated to me in the name of Jesus. And I know that thing is defeated. I know it. And I know that if I will just open my mouth and tell it where to go, it has to. James 4:7 says, you submit to God. Submit to the word, the authority of that word. You resist the devil. Don't pray to God about the devil. Don't pray, God, please do something about this devil. No, you resist it in the name of Jesus. He says, it will flee from you. It'll flee from you. Again, if you're trying to pray to God to do something about it, you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your time. No, he will not do. He cannot do what he has already delegated dominion and authority for you to do. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I think I preached long enough. Let's all stand. Did you get something out of that today? Amen. Teaching and preaching, faith, glory to God. And we're going to exercise an opportunity right now to release your faith, receive your healing, receive your breakthrough. Pastor Paula, would you come up, please? Amen. We're going to receive communion. There's communion in the seat backs in front of you. Those will be on the front row. Just pass those communion elements down, and we're going to receive that. Those of you at home, feel free to take a pause. Go get you some juice, some crackers, whatever you have. Come receive communion with us and receive your healing. This is where you can act in faith and speak words of faith and receive a breakthrough, just like Bartimaeus, just like the two blind men, just like Amen. The one with the issue of blood. Amen. You can receive it today, just even as they did. Praise God. So we're going to turn in our scripture chapter here. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. Amen. He took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, he's pulling faith. Do this in remembrance. What am I remembering? Lord, you were my substitute there at Calvary. Those stripes you took on your back were not for you. They were for me. Again, I'm the one who should have had his back laid bare, bloodied, beaten. I'm the one that should have had the crown of thorns. I'm the one who should have been on the cross pierced. You took my place. So I identify with all those stations of the cross. I identify with his life. Amen. And I receive Christ. I'm putting you in remembrance today. Your body was broken so that mine might be made whole. I make that exchange. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, amen, we receive that from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, and by your stripes at Calvary, Lord Jesus, we're healed, yeah. We're whole. Right now, just hold it in your mind, whatever that place is, whatever that body part is, amen, and we speak to that now in the name of Jesus. Be renewed, be restored, be made whole. If you need a creative miracle, Amen. He's the God of miracles. Receive, heal,
Hallelujah.
Whole, restored right now. So as you receive it, as you eat this bread, that is your act of faith. I'm receiving my miracle right now.
Amen.
I'm receiving it right now. Take and receive your miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Glory to God. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to be healed.
Hallelujah.
Let's all say it together. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are my healer.
You are my healer.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In the
yeah.
Verse 25, in the same manner, he took the cup after he had had supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, again, in remembrance of me. What is he doing? Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Put in remembrance.
Thank you, Lord.
Come meditate on. Remember what I've done for you. Remember the blood that was shed for you. Remember, it is the blood that has washed away your sin. It is your blood that is the blood of Christ that has brought you near unto the Father. It is the blood that has restored you to the holy place. It's the blood that has seated you in the eternal position in Christ at the right hand of the Father, causing you to be able to rule and reign because of the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Have faith in the blood. Make much of the blood. This has everything to do with my position, my eternal position in Christ. Everything you will ever encounter, see it through the blood. See it because of the blood. I'm seated far above this situation. I see this thing through the blood way under my feet.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Call it so. Call it so. Amen. Praise God in faith. In remembrance of that, let us receive the blood of the covenant. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have anything?
I have one thing.
Okay.
Say this. Today is my day.
Today is my day.
Praise God. And as an act of faith, we all have something to throw off. So let's throw it off right now. Throw off our cloak. You ready? Grab that cloak. Hallelujah. And let's throw it off. Woo! And run free into
Amen.
The plan he has for
Amen.
Us. Glory to
Amen.
God.
Today's a new day.
Today's a new day.
Today's your day.
Yes.
Praise God. Those of you online, whenever you are, today is your day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Whatever you need, you reach out, you throw it off the old,
Amen.
You run into the new in Christ. Today
Woo!
Is your day. Praise God.
Praise
well,
God.
Praise God. We'll be back here Wednesday night. Jesus, the miracle worker. Again, this is going to be a group, study, discussion, workshop, ministry lab. So
Amen.
Bring a friend. Again,
yeah.
Friday prayer right here at 9 o'clock. Next Sunday, pre-service prayer at 9:20, and service starts at 10.
Amen.
In the meantime, know this, God
loves
you.
You.
We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.